Shabbat Shalom again. We are entering into beautiful time of studying the Torah, studying the Word of the Lord. And today I have very interesting place of Scripture. Actually, it's so full of interesting things here. And I want to speak about our victories in the Lord. And I name my message today, He Turns My Tears Into Joy. He turns my tears into joy. Sometimes that looks like defeat can lead to victory in the Lord. This is truth, spiritual truth. And this is not message primary about business side of our life, but it's more about spiritual journey with the Lord, our spiritual experiences, our spiritual experience with the Lord. And I want to remind the story in the Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to read it from verse 9, and I want to read verse 10. This is the words of the Lord, of Moses to Israel. And this is very important truth here. Only be watchful and watch over your soul closely. And, you know, this word only. I like this word. Only. So if you forget everything, remember this. Only. Be careful. Pay attention here. Be watchful and watch over your soul closely. Pay attention to your soul. So you do not forget the things your eyes have seen and they slip from your heart all the days of your life. You are to make them known to your children and to your children's children. And if you read it later there, you will find here that Moses reminds the Israelites of their past and speaks about their future. He tells them about their future. He's speaking straight to them, not covering anything over, not hiding anything from them. He boldly and directly speaks about their mistakes and reverses. He is remembering them how each time the Lord was merciful and gave them victory. This is so important. This is the last book of the Torah. And the Moses reminds them all the way they went through. And he reminds them their past. And he reminds them their failures and also their victories too. The Lord taught them lesson from their past failures. And I believe it is so important that we remember every instance when the Lord comes to help us. Every time when He came to our life. Every lesson the Lord teaches us. And if you pay attention, the Lord told them, don't forget these things. Remember forever. Not only you remember, but taught them to your children, and not only to your children, but to your children's children, which means grandchildren, yeah? It's English here, so it's easy. So he taught us about remembering everything he did in our life, and not only for us, but for generations after us. It's so important. And what's interesting, don't remember only good things. Don't speak only about victories, only about how good you are and how victorious you are, but also remember even difficult things in your life, even failures. It's very important to remember. And actually, the Torah, the Bible, it's a very honest book. You will find there all the victories and failures. It's there. It's here. Everything. So honest. So clear. Sometimes our past was not very pleasant. Sometimes days gone by were not days full of victory. Maybe it's only my case, I'm not sure, but I believe most of us, we had sometimes ups and sometimes we have little downs, not much. But our spiritual life, it's full of victories and sometimes full of difficulties. So we should never forget about it, because it is from them that we are built up in our faith. and we learn to walk with the Lord. We learn to walk with Him in the valleys of death and in the great time and great victories. We are learners. We are followers. This is our part. It is important to remember the unpleasant days as well as the good days. And what's most important is to see them all from the perspective of forgiveness and love of the Lord. We need to remember, we need to look at our life from the Lord's perspective, from His eyes, what He's done in our life. Amen. You know, I'm enjoying when I did something wrong and I come into the Lord and asking forgiveness from Him, and great joy for me when I understand something. He's forgiven me. He is full of mercy. He does not remember my sins because He loves me so much. We need to remember it. Therefore, the Lord teaches us to look at everything with His eyes on our victories and also our defeats. And our difficulties and our experiences allows the Lord to teach us and change our hearts through this. It's very important to remember. The Lord wants to manifest His glory in every part of our lives, in our times of weakness and in times of strength. And I want to read Romans chapter 8. This is actually a beautiful verse. Romans 8, verse 28. Please remember it. Remember it, because it's so beautiful. Rabbi Shaul, or Apostle Paul, speaks to us. Speaks to Romans, and I believe to all the believers together. Now we know that all things work together for good. Let's say together, for good. But not for everyone. Only for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Let's say together, love God and called according to His purpose. So all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Sometimes for us as a people, it's hard to believe that how great and merciful our Lord is. Sometimes we need to put our faith to grasp it. We need to read the scriptures. We need to remember it. We need to speak to ourselves and to our children and grandchildren. Everything, all things work together for good for those. And we are those because we love God and we called according to His purposes. Amen. And you know, I put to myself here, never give up in your walk with the Lord. Never give up in your walk in the Lord. Never, ever, ever, ever. If you see the story of Israel, you will see different periods of time. But those who did not give up, they entered the promised land. Two people. Yeshua ben Nun, and who else? Caleb. Very interesting person in scripture. They were faithful in all times. And they had the privilege to enter the promised land. Amen. So Moses is the great example for all of us. And I want to read about his example. What about his experiences? And this is chapter 3 from the verse 25. So here the Moses crying to the Lord. He asking something from the Lord. The verse 25. Please, let me go across and see the good land on the other side of the Jordan or Jordan, that wonderful hill country and the Lebanon. But Adonai was angry with me on account of you, and he didn't listen to me. Adonai said to me, and now from you, don't say another word to me about this matter. Climb up to the top of Pisgah and look out to the west, north, south, and east. Look with your eyes, but you will not go across this Jordan. However, commission Yehoshua, encourage him and strengthen him, for he will lead these people across and enable them to inherit the land that you will see. The word of the Lord to Moses. So he's pleasing the Lord, can I go there? And the Lord told him, you will not cross the Jordan. You will not go there. You know, when I read the scriptures, probably if there was a man who deserved to enter the land, it should be Moses. Do you agree with me or not? What do you think? First of all, he was one of the humble men on the earth. He write it. He was the humble man of the earth. Moses write it. Also, he endured the hardship of the path, fulfilled the true calling, and remained constant with the Lord, even when the entire nation opposed him. He was faithful. But we know the situation. Once he did sin because of the people of Israel. And because of it, the Lord told him not, you will not enter the land, promised land. And you know, when I think about it, the Lord is always right in his acts, in accordance with his perfect plan. And also, because of Moses' sin, God denied him the opportunity to enter the promised land. Even so, Moshe still received what he most eagerly desired and prayed for. Because at the end of his days on earth, he went to be with his father, with his friend. Do you remember? The Lord called him my friend, with his creator, with the Lord. He went to the Lord. It's beautiful. But look at the reaction of Moses to the events in his life. Let's look. The Lord told him, you will not enter the land. And he accepted everything with humbleness. Let's say together, with humbleness. We don't see here. He did not scream. He did not take offense at the Lord. He did not cry out in his frustration. He accepts the will of the Lord into his life. Very simply, very humble man, very humble. And I want to take one step here. This story can look like a terrible defeat for Moses. He wants to go, but the Lord does not allow him to go. Also, a story could be a very sad story for the nation of Israel. Why? Because just then they were ready to enter the promised land, almost. Suddenly Moses was gone. And it was a scary time for whole Israel to stay without their leader, the Moses, the only one, the bigger prophet in Israel, powerful man of God. But let's look at the fruit at the end of this story. And I want to read from Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 and 18. And this is a miracle. Very unusual to read this, but it's a beautiful picture here. This is Joshua ben Nun. He is leading them into the promised land. Then they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. Let's say together, we will do. This is a dream for Moses. He would like to hear this voice, this answer. Because almost always he heard, Moses, what's happened there? Or what happened? Where's the meat? Where's the water? What's the problem, Moses? And Yehoshua ben Nun, he's hearing the voice. All that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may Adonai your God be with you as he was with Moses. This is the great story and the greatest victory in the Jewish lives, because this is change of their hearts. Victory inside of them. They took the land inside of their hearts. Something had happened in the hearts of the Jewish people. the 40 years they had been filled with fears, with murmurings, in constant opposition to Moses, but now such as a change. Yehoshua, we will go with you. Lead us. We will follow you. We will obey you. This is beautiful. And I know that, of course, it was convenient for them to follow Moses. Because why? Because he was the answer for them. Everything they need, they just come to Moses and he blessed them. But finally, the right time had come and the hearts of many people were changed here. We can read it in the Joshua. And also, look how boldly they entered and conquered the land. No longer we can see here murmuring, no longer complaining of difficulties. So they were changed inside. It was a miracle. Even though at times they still had difficulties, they still gave into sin sometimes, but the Lord took all the experience in the wilderness and turned it into victory. At last, the promised land became their home. So they took the land. Let's say together, they took the land. Can you see here the story with Moses? Looks like failure, difficulties, sorrow. But the Lord turns their tears into joy. He works through difficulties. Often the Lord works in my life when I'm in the low point of my life, of my faith. He's doing it because He's the Lord. And all glory belongs to Him. We like to have His glory sometimes, but He don't want to share with us. It's His glory. He is merciful. His glory. And I want to show one more story in the scriptures. Actually, story of Moses. This is the prophetic picture of future story. This is John chapter 16, the verse 6 and 7. And this is the words of Yeshua, our Messiah. Instead, because I have said these things to you, you are overcome with grief. He said them about his future, his death, his calling. So they were overcome with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is so your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you. And you see the same reaction. He told them, you are overcome with grief. The same reaction as with Moses. So Yeshua told the disciples about his calling and about the great plan of redemption to become available through his death and resurrection, but they were not able to embrace it, to comprehend it. They could not accept this easily. And remember Peter's response in the garden when Yeshua told him about his death. Peter took the sword immediately. He said, yes, Lord, we will fight for you. Can you imagine, Lord? Oh, 3 years, I told you. The same response. I will die for you immediately. And here I want to make a very important statement here. In the eyes of the world, and even in the eyes of his disciples, Yeshua's plan looked like defeat. Failure. No hope. Can you imagine leader of the movement told them, I will die tomorrow, soon. And the people, we will fight for you. He said, no. No. Don't take the sword. Put it in the place. You remember what Peter did in that moment. He was good with the sword. Strong man. And the Lord healed this person. Can you imagine this? Mercy and love. the fruit of Yeshua's work seemed so small in the end of his life. 11 people with him and one Judah. And this 11th, you know, you remember what they did. Let's go home. Let's go fishing. It's enough from us. It's too much. Complete defeat, complete failure. Complete. I want to read one place from about the his Talmidim, apostles, in the John chapter 20, verse 19, after Yeshua's crucifixion. Verse 19, I like this place, I mean, it's a beautiful place. In the evening that same day, the first day of the week, when the Talmidim were gathered together behind locked doors, out of fears of the Judeans. So, where? In the safe place, locked doors. I think it was a lot of locks there. Most safe place in Jerusalem, probably they found it. And here it's beautiful. Yeshua came, stood in the middle and said, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. I'm here. So they had been happy with Yeshua. After all, he fed them, he provided for them, he healed them. But after his death, they were in fear of Judeans. Of course. It appears to them that Yeshua's life and ministry were an absolute failure in their eyes, in the eyes of the people around them, but not in the eyes of the Lord. He is looking differently. He knows future. He knows everything. And this is a beautiful picture. What looks like defeat for people was a great victory for the Lord and of the Lord. One more time. What looks like defeat for people was great victory of the Lord. Yeshua died and people thought, okay, we killed him. But it was the path to resurrection. This was the path of redemption. The low place, it was the glorious moment of the earth. Moment of resurrection, moment of redemption for all of us. And you remember what happened after Yeshua rose from the dead? You remember when 120 disciples came together into one room and Holy Spirit filled them with his power? They shook the world. We are here because of them. They influenced the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same Peter who was afraid of to announce that he is disciple of Yeshua, and he denied Yeshua three times. You remember what he did in the day of Shavuot? He stood up in front of the crowd, multitudes, and he said, listen to me, guys. How it in the north? Use guys. They were from Nazareth, so probably they used these words. Use guys. Or y'all, listen to me. And he speaks boldly about the way of truth, way of life, without fear for his life. They were changed. It's a beautiful picture. And the same with all apostles and all the people who follow the Lord. After the day of Shavuot, the disciples had now entered their calling. They became responsible and were transformed from grumbling, fearful disciples into wise and fearless apostles by the power of the Spirit. As a result of their obedience to Yeshua, the world was changed, including every one of us and billions of believers across the millennia and around the world because of them. Yeshua was faithful to his Father. He accomplished everything he was sent to accomplish and left us his example of faithfulness and unfailing commitment. And I want to, and I put here for myself, don't give up. Let's say together, don't give up. In the low moment of your life, don't give up with your walk with the Lord. Because you don't know future, but the Lord knows everything. This could be the moment of your victory, the moment of glory of the Lord. Because in this moment, the Lord wants to give you grace and give you amazing time of victory. And the last example I want to bring, I want to speak about one man, maybe somebody knows him, about him, Joseph Rabinovich. Who knows about him something? Joseph Rabinovich, Ruth, you know. So can we have his picture? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Oy, something wrong here. Okay. It was wrong camera. Joseph Rabinovich, he was born 23rd September 1837, was a founder of the first Jewish Messianic congregation in Chisinau, former Russian Empire. Today it is Moldova. Rabinovich raised and schooled in the strict Hasidic teaching, and around 1882, an Orthodox Jewish man by the name of Joseph Rabinovich from Russia went on a journey to Palestine. It was Palestine at that time. And he later testified to the fact that he faced a dynamic turning point in his life during this trip. While there, Rabinovich said, something profound changed my life. On his return to Chisinau, the capital of Bessarabia, southwestern Russia, he was a new man, as he later described it, on Jerusalem's Mount of Olives. He made the matchless discovery that Jesus is Israel's King and Messiah, the brother of the Jewish people, and thus the answer to the Jewish question. He made the decision to follow the Lord. In December, 24 December of 1884, he founded first Messianic congregation named Bnei Brit Hadasha, Sons of the New Covenant. His congregation had about 100 members at that time. Can you imagine? 1884. It's a miracle. From that point on, Rabinovich's new movement was called Israel's of the New Covenant. He faced with great opposition. Whole Jewish world stood against him, and he was not welcomed in most of the Christian churches too. But he remained faithful. And we know the story. After his death, congregation were dispersed, but it looked like everything was stopped. Looked like defeat. People around him, they told, you see, he's not fruitful, congregation not exists. But through his ministry, thousands of Jewish people came to the Lord, hundreds. And actually, today, we have thousands of Messianic congregations around the world, and part of it because of Rabinovich. He was a pioneer. When later, after hundreds of years, Jewish people discovered what to do with our faith, they looked at Rabinovich. They discovered we can believe in Yeshua and still be Jewish people. So his congregation was the first congregation after thousands of years. His failure is the great success. His low point, mountain for all of us. The Lord used his life to spread around gospel to the Jewish people. Looks like defeat, but no, this is victory. Amen. Amen. So remember, and I want to finish here, remember to always persevere in your spiritual journey, to remain faithful to the Lord and His call, even if it is not going well for now. Even if it's not going well for now. Keep following the Lord. Keep faithful. And remember, our lives is not always a bed of roses. And even roses have thorns. It's our life. So let no one, not the evil, not people, ever deflect us from that appointment. May no earthly influence ever cause us to stray from our goal. We are called to join the work, to pick up our cross and to follow Yeshua. There is so much to do. There are so many unsaved souls around us. And for us as a congregation, we have a unique task because we are the Messianic congregation. We're called to bring the gospel, good news, to our Jewish people. This is great calling for us. So let's remain faithful. Let's stand. Even if you have difficulties, remember, the Lord can turn everything from your tears into joy. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence with us, Lord. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. And thank you for victories in our life, Lord. Lord, we keep faithful. We remain faithful to you. We will be faithful until last days of our life, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for Yeshua. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your glory in us, Lord. In the Holy Spirit. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Let's close with the Aaronic benediction and let's stand together. Don't be alone. Thank you so much. Let's pray. We have a wonderful tradition to stay together as a family, as a mishpacha. Let's pray. Yevarechech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, his peace, in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom.